Here on the afternoon show, Kevin Cole with you. It's KEXP Seattle, and joining me right now, all the way from Iceland, Samaris. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's great having you here. We'll chat in a bit, but how about a couple songs?
Thank you. Thank you. worse than the bed with the
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Samaras live on the afternoon show, KEXP. Jofrieder Alslong, Dottie, welcome to KEXP. Welcome to Seattle.
Thank you.
It's great having you here. I've seen you in Iceland at Keck's Hostel at a decommissioned power plant doing your normal Iceland airwave showcase a couple months ago in the Netherlands, but it's awesome having you here at our home in Seattle.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you as well, because you aren't doing a Seattle date. You are just stopping over, so you agreed to do a layover to perform for KEXP listeners.
It's actually, for us, it made so much sense to do it, because when we were just beginning to play ever, 2011, KEXP was one of the first platforms that contacted us and at Iceland Airwaves and kind of, you know, gave us a nice sort of push, and we've been in touch since, and, you know, every time you come over and such. So it's a great honor to finally be here in your home.
Yeah, it's been fantastic kind of partnership. And you came to our attention first in 2011. I think you had won an Icelandic Battle of the Bands or something.
Yep.
KEXP listeners will be familiar with your music. We've played it a lot, but they probably don't know a lot about you. Had you been together for a while before then?
We started in 2011, in January. It was right around Aslak's birthday. How old were you then?
Oh, 18, 17 years old.
I was 16, so you must have turned 18.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to have something, you know, we wanted a new activity. We were all bored, and that's why we started
it. January, horrible.
And Auslan and I said we wanted to, there were two things we wanted to do, and dance and wear costumes. And so we contacted Todd and said, can you help us make some techno music? And then it actually came as a surprise to all of us that we kind of clicked. And since then, we've just been doing this and we've been enjoying it. And it's been an amazing creative outlet for all of us.
Nice. Well, the music's beautiful. And the last album, Silkedranger.
Yeah, Silkedranger. A little more harsh.
Silkedranger. One of my favorite albums of last year. Just a great late night, early morning record. Feel transported every time I listen to it. Always takes me to a better place. And your lyrics are all from 19th century Icelandic poems, right?
Yeah.
From both of both of your records?
Yes, actually. We started doing that because we were working in a studio in Dottis Music School. And we needed inspiration for lyrics, so we started out just trying to sing them, those old poems that were in the studio.
Were you originally going to write your own lyrics?
Yes, was the intention. Yeah, but then, actually, we just fell in love with these lyrics, and we decided to keep on kind of developing the idea. And since then, we've been doing a lot of digging, and we've been kind of, you know, extracting and exploring the whole public domain.
Are they all from a certain era, from a certain
style?
Yeah,
most of them are romantic, but that's just because it's our preference.
Yeah.
We really like that.
Are the lyrics really important?
They can. Good lyrics can definitely boost the quality of a song, and bad lyrics can ruin a good song otherwise. So, but we like this sort of, because what we're doing is mysterious, and we like to kind of add to the mystery. And
I think
it's actually been amazing how well we have been received by foreign audience that cannot understand anything that we're saying. It seems that it's not necessarily, you know, you don't need to understand it.
Yeah, with great music, you don't need to know the lyrics or know the language necessarily. You can feel the emotional quality in the delivery.
Seems. And then and the melody. It also seems to kind of be more people enjoy it in kind of a similar way as they enjoy instrumental music. Mm-hmm. And that's also been very interesting for us to explore because we had no idea that was the result.
Yeah. To what extent has been raising the awareness of some of these poets been important or maybe a nice kind of byproduct?
It's been, I feel like the way I see it, it's been kind of this has been kind of a bridge between younger and older generations mm-hmm. because the feedback we got originally from young people was that they were surprised that they liked the poems so much. And then the feedback that we got from the older people was that they were surprised that they liked the music so much.
And are these poems known in
Iceland? Some of them are, yeah, but others are completely unknown.
Cool. How about the poets themselves? Who are the poets?
Oh, we've done some research on that, and one of our favorites, he was actually a drunk. he wrote beautiful love poems to his wife that actually parted with him because of his problem. And they're actually very, because that was in the you know, 19th century, or maybe even older, it was maybe 18th century. That was very, he was very kind of dramatic, and he uses a lot of words for comparing his love to, you know, natural elements and stuff like that that we find very interesting. That's one of them, the drunk, the poetic drunk. and then others are, some of them are scholars, they were teachers, and others are famous poets, kind of in the Romantic era.
So what are you going to do when you run out of poems?
We are, the chances are you never will, because in the Icelandic language we have, you know, the catalogue is immense. I don't think we'll ever run out.
Do you ever envision straying from that concept and writing?
Yes, certainly. Yeah. I mean, it started as an experiment, and it would be a shame for us to stop experimenting.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're definitely thinking what to do next, and we've considered everything, you know, writing our own lyrics, doing gibberish lyrics, getting other people to come and trying out other languages and, you know, everything.
Ah, that all sounds
fascinating. We'll see what we end up doing, but we'll definitely do what we think is going to sound the best.
Cool. What about the music then? Do you start with the poem and then set the music around it?
First, the music.
Okay. And is the music part collaborative?
Yes, it's very collaborative. Dodis does the production, so he always has the final touch. Mm-hmm. But all the songwriting we do together.
Now, it's interesting instrumentation. Dodis playing, you know, electronics and beats and program music. Afslag is playing clarinet, and you guys are a three-piece. And mm-hmm. You don't hear clarinet much in modern music. Mm-hmm. And especially not in beautiful electronic music. It sounds so great.
That was also one of the things that we just stumbled upon. Ausla and I are both clarinetists, and we met through playing the clarinet. So when we were making songs in the studio, actually, Ausla was first going to just sing or play the flute, which he doesn't really know how to do, or play some kind of a percussion. It was all very, very, I don't know. There were many ideas in the beginning. So actually, we were writing the song together, and we said, hey, I have my clarinet in my backpack. Should I try write a melody on top? And we did it, and it sounded, we were actually so shocked at what we found out, because it was actually just like a synth. It was like when you put a few effects on it, and, you know, it just sounds like a really beautiful sine wave synth.
It's beautiful, but it also gives sort of a warmth, like there's a real breathy quality
exactly.
to your music through your vocals and through the clarinet playing and the breathing. You can hear that mm-hmm. in the electric. Yeah, and it's super cool. I know that you have some classical background. How does that, or has that come into play in terms of creating the kind of electronic music that you create?
It's hard to say, because I think a lot of the influences are subconscious. But the most interesting thing for me is always the sort of the debate between me and Totti, who has actually kind of refused to have any classical influence on whatever he does, because it says it's too, you know, it's too kind of, there are too many rules and it's too limiting. But so for us, kind of writing music together is a conversation where we're constantly fighting and arguing about, you know, whatever we like and whatever we don't like and such. And so I think that the classical element is very hard to exactly pinpoint what it is, but I think it's definitely in there, in the songwriting and in the way we kind of think about chords, because we've had to do a lot of harmony and mm-hmm. counterpoint and such. So, I mean, it must have an effect, even though at the moment it's very hard to say exactly what it is.
Samaras Live on the afternoon show here on KEXP Silke Dranger. I'm trying to do it really hard.
No, you're
now.
Good. You're good.
is the newest album? There was an album before, a self-titled album that combined the first two EPs, mm-hmm. and the two songs we just heard were from the new album.
Yes.
And you're going to play a couple now from the
exactly.
Playing
two
EPs.
Songs from the first EP. We have one from the first and another from the second. Yeah.
Very cool. And before we get to those, are you working on new music yet?
Yes, we are actually. We're kind of doing it every now and then whenever we have time and everyone's in the right mood. But so far what we have come to find is we're writing all these kind of melancholic trap beats with a tropical influence. I won't say anything else, it will change drastically, but that's what we've got at the moment.
Cool. Samaras Live on KEXP. Want to go for it?
Thank you.
glöggar sér í hvernig láti hún upp hjörtin fjör góða tunglum loft og lifur loft við skýjar silver skauk. Svo viljum alveg byður eftir þinn lesu breytt.
Samaras Live on the Afternoon Show, KEXP, sounding absolutely beautiful. Two songs from the first self-titled release. What were those songs called?
The first one was called Solkvarf, number 2, and then the second one is called Góða Tungl.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for doing a special KEXP session. You're not doing a Seattle show.
Well, next time.
Yep. On your way to LA, doing an LA show and a New York show, are those open to the public?
Yes, you need to RSVP.
Okay.
It's a promo and stuff. Yeah.
Well. So I'll post a link to the real-time playlist so our listeners in LA and New York can go see you. And hopefully we'll have you here this fall for Reykjavik Calling. It would be great.
That would be so nice, yeah.
Samaras Live on the Afternoon Show. Jofrider Oslag-Dati, thank you so much. And a huge thanks to Jim, Justin, Scott, and Karina on our online crew. We'll have videos and photos up of the session soon. Kevin Suggs on sound, Matt O operating the board, Alexi and Larry Rose. Thanks tons for helping. And again, it's Samaras Live on KEXP. Thank you.
Thank you.